I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations. Your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend. A ferocious linebacker. A clueless producer. And you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. How you living, Threes?
Oh, living the dream, brother. You How you doing, man? A little, you know, nothing like getting your heart rate up like a problems connecting this morning, you know, with your Comrex units. I land last night.
Yeah.
Or yesterday afternoon, I should
You're
say.
You're in Jersey.
Which, by the way, absolutely no issues on flight number one. So awesome.
Right.
Good job out of you, United. Four more to go. So, you know, we'll see. But so far, so good. Beautiful view of New York City as you fly in. You know, you loop around and come in from the east side of the land. And so, honestly, you're flying dang near over the harbor there. You're just like, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful. Look
Pretty
at this
good.
Here. You can see Statue of Liberty out the window and the whole skyline. It was gorgeous.
It's a big sky.
It really made me want to commit to Greg Schiano, you know, there. And I'm like, and then you land and you're like, okay, I can still see New York City. And then you drive about 45 minutes the other way and you're like, wait, hold on. I thought we were, no, not that way. Anyway. But
he's got a sellout.
He does have a sellout, baby. There we go. Packing SHI Stadium. So that'll be exciting. And, believe it or not, Rutgers is a pain in the rear end to get out of. And this is
like one road in situation.
This is the last, yes, one road in, one road out, and it's a single lane, you know. So it's one way each way. So it's just it's tight. And that's usually with 50 to 65% capacity. So I can't imagine the sellout. So hopefully Rutgers pulls away. People get disinterested and leave, but. Who knows? He's got this place juiced up for this one. But it's been, anyway, I land and I get the thing set up yesterday, turn it on. I'm like, okay, we're good. Battery's charged. Got it plugged in. I go to turn it on this morning about an hour ago.
Yeah.
And mid-turn on. For one, this thing's finicky. I don't know about your device, but mine is you have to hold the power button. Uh-huh. Comrex will come up. The screen will go black. And then you have to wait till it sees Comrex again. And I'm like, because if you don't, it'll just, you didn't hold it long enough to
turn
it on.
Didn't hold it long enough, sure.
I don't understand why you can't just tap the power button.
Right.
And then that's another issue. So as it's loading, it says, system, experiencing system error. Please try again later. It just shuts off.
Oh, that's not ideal.
Excuse me? What? Regardless, it fixed itself, obviously, because here I am, right here with you. But for a while there, we thought it was just going to be Chops and his thoughts.
It might just be the Chops show.
A whole 3-hour movie review, you know?
That should be a segment. Chops thoughts.
Chops thoughts.
One thing I'm thinking.
Gosh. That could be so random. That could go anywhere, couldn't it?
Chops thoughts. I'll let you do that if you have a timer. We have a timer on you, like on the movie reviews. You have a timer.
All right, I'll let you know when I have a
thought. What do you think would be an adequate amount of time for a Chops thought? Is it 45 seconds? Is it 90 seconds? You give me it.
I think 45 is probably good. Keep it under a minute. You know, usually that's it takes me less than a minute to realize that J-Lo's not listening, so that's usually how long they go.
I'm wondering, though, like... What percentage of the time is that thought usually on Taco Bell?
Well, Taco Bell is always there. It's just that's an underlying thought.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know,
you said living the dream. You are living the dream. I took the boys out to the bus this morning, and it was 63 degrees.
Woo-wee!
That's hoodie and shorts weather, Coach. That's the dream boat right there. That's what you're hoping for. You look at the extended, and it's pretty great. I mean, it's fall. It's September 1.
Fall
is here. The Buckeyes play tomorrow, for crying out loud. It's hard to wrap your head around that, but they do. Of course, it is September 1st. Anytime that this day comes up on the calendar, you're reminded that 14 years ago, Appalachian State beat Michigan. And on the debut of the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the locker room. And watching it on the TV, or no, we're not in the locker room. We were in the press room at Ohio Stadium, watching it on the TVs as it finished, and waiting to interview you guys is what we were waiting to do.
Yeah.
But it was, you do wonder if you go back to that moment was, is that the beginning of the end?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I think that's the first time where you look up and you're like, oh, wait, Michigan lost to App State? Like, why was it even that close? And I remember being in that media room, which, by the way, is that where they still do, like, the post-game stuff? Because it's tight. It's always hot. It's uncomfortable. I mean, it's like, I just remember always, maybe it's the fact that, like, we had to wear our team sweats, you know, to the games and after. Right. And I'm like, Coach, it's, you know, we're still in September. You know, it's September 1. And
it was packed.
It's sweaty.
And it's tight.
And I just remember being like, I remember, like, already having showered and then you're, like, still sweating bullets. I never understood the guys who, like, went in there with all their gear to do interviews. I'm like, bro, get out of your stuff. Like, what are we doing? Shower.
Well, it does allow you to not, it allows the media not to get that close to you.
That's true. Maybe I did it all wrong. You know, I was thinking about, like, let me get out of here. Like, noon kick. Let's get out of here. Let's go enjoy the afternoon. Let's have some pops, you know, and kind of decompress a little bit. Looking back at my career, probably not the best post-workout, you know, diet sometimes is like, hey, you know, let me pour a bourbon and something. It's probably not the best way to recover. But there's also a part of you that's like, I could take pain medication or I could take this little, you know, glass of bourbon. Either one, probably not ideal, but one will be better for the pain than the other. But anyway, I will never forget that because I remember watching it literally live in the press room and just being like,
press room, yeah.
Yeah, not even knowing how to respond to it. And I think you're right. I think it's the beginning of the end. I really do.
Yeah, man. I think when you look back on it, you just say, you know, you think about what happened in the 06 season. I wasn't here for 06. Was here for 07, obviously, and they came in highly regarded. Obviously, Henny and Long and Hart and all those guys, and they were all coming back, and Lloyd was still there. They had some momentum in recruiting. Ryan Mallett was in the program, and he was a big-time five-star kid who was coming in, and you said, okay, well, there's a future there for them, and this is going to be what we wait to see. It's Ohio State, Michigan, to continue to duke it out for a while. There were some a little whispers around Lloyd, like, why can't he, you know, he hadn't beaten Tress much, and that was a problem, but it wasn't anything like what it's been since, and you do wonder if you know, does the loss to App State, does the kind of the disappointment of that year, does that lead to the change that happened at Michigan and the move to go to Richard? Is that the start of it? And now you look at where they are, and we're going to do the Big Ten East today, and I haven't spent much time thinking about Michigan this preseason. I haven't spent much time even knowing who – I know they play Western Michigan just because we talked about it yesterday. But normally I'd circle it, right? For years you'd be like, all right, where's Michigan playing? I got to keep an eye on these guys. Well, no, you don't. You don't have to keep an eye on because they're not that interesting and they're not very good. And that's just the reality. And I do wonder if that kind of was, you know, that loss to App State 14 years ago was kind of the beginning of the end.
It was. And I think, Bo, with this Michigan right now and the state that they're in, the flip to Rich Rod and the lack of winning there took a while to get out of that. Brady Hoke did a nice job pulling them out of that, at least making them respectable again. They had that weird, remember when they went to Adidas and they had the weird change in their color? Like the blue wasn't maize and blue, you know? Right. It was like highlighter yellow, and I'm like, what? It just looked odd. And then they got they're back to, I think, their brand and identity, which has still carried them to recruit somewhat all right. You know what I mean? Like, for how inept they've been on the field at times. And really, I think they, even when they had some of their better seasons, I think it actually was a lack of the rest of the Big Ten being good that helped them get to 10 wins. But that's another point. I mean, at least you win. You get credit for that.
Yeah.
Last year was a struggle. I called them against Rutgers, and They didn't separate themselves on the field as much as you would think they would. And quite honestly, should have lost that game. Rutgers, I think, missed a field goal if I don't recall correctly. But when you think about that team, what should be exciting when you have a five-star tailback and quarterback coming in, you feel like you're going to see a whole lot of Cade McNamara instead of Jay McCarthy. You feel like you're going to see a whole lot of other good players. Blake Corum at tailback, I know they're really high on, a very explosive back. They should be high. He better be really good because you basically chose him in rotational spots over Zach Charbonnet, and we saw what Zach did in his debut at UCLA. And I forget the new kid that's coming in, but you feel like you're like what should be a normal, like we have a lot of expectation for Travion Henderson, right? There's a lot of hype around him.
Sure.
And no matter what, who we have coming back in that running back room, right, with Master Teague and the others that are occupying that space, we're going to see a lot of Travion Henderson. Why? For one, he's worked his tail off to earn it, right? Two, the coaches know, like, the guys want to see him. They've seen him in practice. That should be the same excitement you have about what's going to come out of Ann Arbor. But you don't get the sense that the coaches, it's almost like they're going to try to conceal it. Like, oh, no, well, we got a bunch of guys who aren't. Well, no, like, if you have a guy who's legit a dude and has been working hard, play him.
Yeah.
Play the exciting kid that everyone wants to, you know, give the people a reason to be excited, and you just don't see that direction and that excitement up there. And I do think that this day in back in 2007 was the tipping point.
Yeah.
I mean, we played against. I mean, we had Henny and Ryan Mallett, man. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, they were set up. I mean,
QB.
Chad had started all those years. That was a good team, Hart and Long and Henny. I mean, that was a really good team. You guys played in 07. They had a disappointing season, but it was a really good team. They had dudes on defense. I mean, they were ready to go. And then the next year, you know, you would have transferred power to Ryan Mallett, and you know that you would have kept going. I mean, they would have kept going, and they would have continued to be, you know, probably the second best team in the Big Ten. And that was something that at that time, you know, they aspired to more, and they were coming off of the 90s, and they thought that they were going to own Ohio State, and it just, it didn't happen. And then it got worse with hires and misses and the hiring of Urban and the recruiting level that he took it to here. And now where it is, they're just not on the same level in any way. And we'll get into the Big Ten East a little bit in the 11 o'clock hour. Get your Hey Guys questions in for 11 o'clock as well. This could be football, life, whiskey, kids, whatever you want. Well, we'll take care of you on that front.
It TV all blends viewing. Together.
It all blends nicely, my friend. When you think of the Big Ten East, though, you're in Piscataway. That's a sellout. That's real momentum.
Yep.
That's real momentum at Rutgers. I think Maryland is an interesting team because I think they have really high-end, some really high-end offensive talent. They do.
They have high-end defensive talent, too. That's one thing that I watched a little bit of Maryland yesterday on the plane play against Indiana. And, you know, so I'm prepping for Indiana, and I'm watching. And what Maryland did defensively, now I know that their D coordinator left, I believe, to a different job. But they had a mindset of, we're going to play man with a low hole player and a free safety basically every single snap. And when we blitz, it's going to be man. Like, they didn't play any zone. It was man. Yeah. And they held up. They held up against Indiana. Those guys were in their face. Penix had a hard time throwing downfield against them. We're in a really weird situation. Maryland's got to get better at this. They actually had a bad day against the ground, which you say, how does that happen? If you're a man and you're playing single high, it means that you have an extra guy in the box. Right?
Yeah.
So you should be very sound versus the run game. And Indiana didn't run the ball well at all last year, except that game. So it was kind of a weird kind of stick-out thing. They had missed tackles and stuff. But as far as holding up on the back, that was one of the games that I was excited to watch. And I will be this year, too, because they're so gutsy with their play calls that, and they have really good, talented man corners. When I looked at Maryland secondary, and you heard Ryan Day talk about it before the game was canceled, right? Like, he was excited to see his wideouts on their DBs because they can cover. They have athletic guys and the D-backs that can cover, and they have skill on offense too. But they're a little bit Nebraska-ish when it comes to the mental mistakes, right? You feel like they'll win a game like at Penn State, and then they'll lose a game where you're like, come on, Maryland. And it's all because there's little things. There'll be like a holding call. Like, they'll throw like a 70-yard touchdown pass, holding, and then they throw a pick the next play. There's little things within their team culture that Loxley's got to get over the hump with.
Yeah.
Because the talent is there. And we've always known Loxley can recruit it.
Yes, he can.
But my big question for them is, can he coach it? Can he culture coach it? Like, if you took Loxley's recruiting with some of these other coaches, like culture and their accountability,
he almost
that's
got
a scary
Jalen
program,
Hurts
but you just
to Maryland.
I know.
The kid had 1 year to try to be a pro quarterback, and he almost got him to Maryland. He got him on campus.
Yep.
I mean, he's a recruiting machine. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a really interesting year in the Big Ten East. You just have to take us out of it because we've separated from everybody else.
Yes,
so that's just kind of where it is. But when you look at the rest of them, it's huge seasons at a lot of these programs. We'll get into it at greater depth in the 11 o'clock hour. 10 o'clock hour, Urban said something yesterday that certainly got the attention, and it's an interesting case of he said what everybody else is doing, and he's getting dinged for it. But that's a lesson of the NFL. We hit two-a-days with Jacksonville and Houston coming up at 10 and see how Coach Meyer is handling things down in Jacksonville on that front. We are a day out. You'll hear from Ryan Day. That is coming up a little bit later in the program as well. Cut down day in the NFL. Your first Friday officially endorsed coming up. Absolutely loaded up. Off and running. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
You love sports. We love sports. You love the Buckeyes. We love the Buckeyes. You love your mom. We love your mom. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or search of replacement windows, give them a call. WindowNation.com. Back to school sales on right now. 866-90-NATION. Tell them Bo sent you. Money, the story of the day in college football. Jimbo Fisher, 10 years, 90. 10 years, 90. $9 million a year for Jimbo, Texas A&M.
What has he done? Here's my first thing that when I saw that. Like, yep. I thought that he was slightly overpaid before.
Yeah, before it was 10 years, 75.
Yes, which for me, like, if I'm an AD, I'm looking at that, I'm saying, I'm not sure. But, like we talk about, you're worth what the market's willing to give you, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what he has done since he's been to A&M. Has he really elevated them above what Kevin Sumlin had him at?
It's negligible.
I know Sumlin at the end went down, right? But he at least had the most attention on A&M ever was Johnny Manziel.
Right.
And so you have all that down there, and now you're looking back and you're like, I'll put it this way. The last few years, I felt like ESPN was trying to force Kellen Mond down your throat.
Agreed.
And then when I would watch him, I'd be like, I just don't see it. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
They're doing it this year, too. They did it on game day. They talked about A&M all day on game day. It's like they're...
I know. So I don't understand what he has done. Like, when that deal happened, I thought, oh, man, A&M's going to regret that. And then here we are out of nowhere, post-pandemic. No, actually, you know what? Extension, and we'll bump you up annually.
The only thing I can think of is the fear for them of it could be a whole lot worse. That if we don't... And knowing this from his time in Tallahassee and talking to buddies down there... One thing he did at Florida State is he constantly put pressure, and it drove people nuts, and it's why they were, despite the fact that he won a national championship, and they probably regret it now, but it drove people nuts because it was like, it's never good enough here. It was never good enough. It was like, wait a second. Every time that they would get him an indoor practice facility, and it's hard down there to raise money. It's not like A&M, yeah. where money yeah. grows on trees. It's hard down there to raise
clearly.
Money.
Clearly. Yeah.
And he would be like, right, it clearly doesn't A&M. And he would be like, look, as soon as this was done, then I need this, then this, then this.
Right.
And he would just keep asking for stuff, and it drove him nuts. And they were finally like, okay, fine, just leave. And the only thing I can think is, at A&M, you're fearful that if he left, we could end up irrelevant. And with Texas yeah. coming into the league, at least he's respected in the state, and at least he can get us to 9-10 wins. Because we got to deal with Texas and Oklahoma quickly.
Yeah.
So that's my thinking is their thinking is, look, is he Saban? No. But I thought that was an interesting thing Heath said yesterday when we had Heath Klein on when he said the way that Georgia views Kirby Smart. Like, it's kind of like Saban can't coach forever. We want to make sure we're ready when he's done. And right. I do wonder if there's some of that with Jimbo at Texas A&M. Like, you know, Saban can't go forever. And there might also be some fear of, hey, if Ed Orgeron's fired at LSU, does LSU bring Jimbo there? Because he's flirted with LSU for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. does he go to LSU and coach there? Right. And I think that's a better job than Texas A&M. Same thing,
same.
You know.
But not now. Like, he ain't doing it now.
No, he's not doing it now.
If you're LSU, does that put Eddie O on the hot seat even more? Because you're looking around and saying, we got to get ourselves situated for when Nick's
better
done.
Get loaded up.
We got to be ready.
Yeah.
And if Eddie O doesn't do it, you know, if he doesn't show at least a little bit of a bounce back this year, I don't know who they try to go. Maybe they call Marcus again and say, hey, sorry, I know that D coordinator, we wanted you. What about HC?
What about HC? They need somebody down there. They need somebody down there who's who's of you know, they need like their Kirby Smart, you know, and Ed kind of, he's a, you know, he's an LS, he's a Louisiana guy, but he's Kirby's relentlessness. And it's crazy because Ed won the national title, but so much of it is you just say Joe.
Yeah.
The two Joes, Brady mm-hmm. and Burrow, you know,
like, yep.
you know, if those yep. things don't happen, who knows?
Yep.
Yeah. It blew my mind on that. It also blew my mind on the Quinn Ewers deal. Good for him. It's an awkward thing too, right? Threes, because we're used to talking about professional athletes and money, and but usually they're grown men. You know, they're 22. We do it a little bit. You have to do it a little bit in the NBA because it comes a little quicker there. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to wrap your head around $1.4 million guaranteed for an 18-year-old who's hasn't really practiced too much. He was out a week, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He's down the depth chart. You know, who knows if you'll see him? We all certainly know who he is. But obviously, these things have been in the work for a very long time, and he's set up. But I also feel like almost like he's kind of he's going to set the market, and then the market's going to adjust based on how this goes.
It's, for one, these things are tricky. I was texting with a buddy of mine who's an agent in the NFL and has had multiple first round picks, and we went to college together at Ohio State, and he said that these exclusive deals are almost impossible without having some sort of breach of contract. Because here's where it gets into issue with. It's just like the media. Remember how we talked about like the whole thing about media? And like, what if these kids just say, you know what? No, I'm going to do my own podcast. Sorry. I'm not doing your team-issued media.
Yeah.
This is what that is. So what happens when he leaves? Or when the school says, hey, actually, we have a team autograph signing. Actually, no, coach. No, we don't. I only signed for this company. Sorry. Yeah. What? Or, hey, OSU alumni, we want to bring you in for this. I can't. Sorry. I'm signed here. So if he signs anything else, then it depends on the relationship. Do they want to sue for breach of contract? You know, is there fiscal repercussions because of that? All these things, right? Then the interesting part of this, right? And I thought this was the most interesting thing that I heard in the morning because I didn't think NFL people were even paying attention to this. He was talking to a GM of an NFC team this summer, and he said players who are a different word, but messing around with NIL and trying to take deals here and there, they're dropping them on their board because it shows the main thing is the main thing. You want to make money, be a top 10 pick. Football is the most important thing, guys. People are tripping over pennies. Mm-hmm. He's like, you want to be a dude, focus on football. And a lot of people will say, well, that's not really fair. I'm just saying this is a very successful, long tenure GM that says people who are trying to take money on NIL, and this is different. This isn't
sure.
Quinn is different. 1.4 million. No one's going to say no to that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And it came to him. But it's the other small deals, right, where people are trying to – that's where they're like, we're just wondering, what's your main focus on? Because when you get to that level, and you see it all the time, do you love football? If we're investing millions in you, do you love football or do you love money? Yeah. Because when things get really tough and you're on a losing team – and an injury happened. Like, if you love football, we can invest in you.
Yeah.
We can invest in you for a long time. But if you love money, that's fleeting. And where's the effort going to go when things don't go well or the paycheck isn't as high as you thought it was? So I never even thought about it. Like, I thought NFL teams were like, dude, whatever. But
no,
this GM was when I saw who it was too, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Well, this isn't no like rookie GM.
No, and buddy, you know the F in NFL does not stand for fair. They don't care about that.
That's not what
it's about. You know,
here's the dynamic, though. And this is what I get all the time from people. I got it last night in two interviews I did. This is the biggest question. How's the room going to know? I don't know. I know how an NFL locker room handles it. An NFL locker room, you'd walk in if you saw like a marketing contract, and you'd be like, all right, I see you. Like, let's just do like a – I see you, Steven Jackson. All right, man, I see you on the Nike commercial. Big money, huh? I was like, you got dinner next time. That's kind of the way it goes, right? That's it. That's all you talk about. There's no like, man, I can't believe that dude's getting that. Like, it might be with your family. It might be with friends. Those people will, CJ Stroud's family right now and close friends might be saying to him, where's our one? If he's getting 1.4, where's ours?
Oh, for sure.
But in the locker room, it shouldn't be anything. If anything, it's poking Quinn saying, all right, man. All right, Fresh, you got dinner then.
Yeah.
That's it. That should literally be it. But I also understand that, like, when you're in the league, you're 21 years old. You're 22. You're not 18, 17. So I have no idea. We have no idea how this is all going to play out. But it's it definitely catches everybody's attention, and now you understand why. Heck yeah, you understand why he left Texas high school football.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason I think it's kind of the barometer for everybody else is everybody that I've talked to, that we've had people on this show, people who evaluated, say he's a sure thing, that he is. And he might very well be, right?
Yeah.
He might very well be. There's other guys who are said to be sure things that didn't hit. There's guys who would. For every Trevor Lawrence, there are guys who didn't, right? So the reason I think this is such a barometer is, what if he doesn't play?
Yeah.
I mean, what if it takes 2 years before he plays, right? And then all of a sudden, Arch Manning is the next thing. He's getting his money.
And this is a national deal, right?
But this is everybody's around the country talking about this. So it's a lot on a kid, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pressure on a kid.
Is it his name? It's a national company, though, right?
Oh, national company. Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because if this was like a Columbus-based company,
no,
then that's where it gets uniquely complicated, right? So when's the big deal that happens where it's a local? You know, say it's Buckeye Corner, right? And they get together a bunch of guys and they're like, hey, we're going to do this for C.J. Stroud. Here's your $1.5 million over the course of your career at Ohio State. Clause. But if you transfer.
Right.
We want our money back. Right. So this is a national deal. So like my thought, I'm like, well, if Quinn doesn't play here, he's going to transfer somewhere else. And then maybe he has a chance to play there and be a star and it ends up being worth it. But you're absolutely right. If it doesn't work out. If they don't view that it came back, then it hurts Arch Manning. Then it hurts the next guy, because then you're kind of saying, you're kind of like, oh well,
yeah.
You know, I gave this guy. It's a big swing. It's a big swing.
Yeah, it very much is. And I mean, I just think of like even like Jacob Eason, who was number one quarterback in the country coming out, and goes to Georgia, gets hurt, then ends up at Washington.
Yeah.
Well, is that worth the same on an autograph circuit?
Right.
But at the end of the day, Georgia,
if you're Jacob
Eason,
you could have said, look at his career now. You could have said, you know what? I got $1.5 million versus.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's not about Quinn. It's just about. No, no.
No doubt.
And I want to make that very clear.
No, it's the business side.
Any bigger.
No,
it's just the business side of it. And it leads to these awkward conversations about an 18-year-old kid. I mean, you can't root for him anymore. I mean, I hope he's everything that people say he is. I hope he earns it and then some. And I hope that I hope he's swimming in cash like Scrooge McDuck and is the number one overall pick in the draft and wins the Heisman and all those things. I'm just saying,
the number one overall pick in the draft is real money.
Yes,
right?
And we've never seen 1.4 is real money too, and we've never seen haven't seen this in college football. So it's going to take some time to get used to it, and I think the market will bounce around a little bit before you find the sweet spot. On.
Yes, when I say real money, I'm saying in the context of the National Football League.
Oh, right.
When you're talking number one overall pick and Quinn Ewers, you're talking about generational money. Like,
correct.
When I'm done playing football, I'm good. My kids should be good if I handle my money well, all of that. In an NFL mind frame, it's one of the things you try to tell rookies. If you make $1 million, you're not living off that for the rest of your life. Because chances are, you're trying to keep up a lifestyle like the rest of the guys in this locker room, and $1 million ain't going to get you there.
Not going
to
do it.
So, you know, to clarify, I'm talking about an NFL locker room.
NFL locker room money, yes, absolutely. Yes. Ryan Day is going to be talking about Minnesota. It's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Telling it like it is, even if that makes you uncomfortable. Common Man and Tebow.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man?
So for you.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
Does it feel like you're going to be playing a game tomorrow night?
It does now for me. Because
you're
in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We got a sellout. We got articles here in Piscataway talking about, reading this one right now, which, by the way, I think I mentioned this, but this is the best thing to happen to me in TV in the 3 years I've been doing it. There's a service that scans every single college football program articles. And so the fact that I can just go to this Dropbox every morning,
that's
scroll down, it's a pain because there should be a link to every team. You know, that's like the next step. Can we just click Rutgers? But you have to scroll all the way down. So you can imagine when there's 54 articles on Alabama, that it takes a while to scroll all the way down to Rutgers.
Right.
But can Rutgers football bowl game dreams become reality? The path to the postseason. I mean, Yeah, it feels
hope, man. Hope's a powerful thing. It's something that PJ had at Minnesota coming out, you know,
yeah.
2 years ago.
Absolutely. They were about to go row in Japan, you know, for the Olympics. Yeah. And now they're
– He was rowing, you know, baby.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're coming off a weird year with COVID. And they are – I always – when I think of COVID and put it on COVID, I think of Minnesota and Penn State first. Those are the first two programs I think of.
I know you don't follow them. You got to think about Temple, too. How about this? 215 man games lost due to COVID. An average of 30 players a week. The head coach said he would, if it was up to him, he wouldn't have played the last three games.
Man. I mean, okay. So
they played five quarterbacks. One was a walk-on, and then their backup was like their starting wide receiver.
Good night.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I didn't. I was unaware of
but
that.
But we're not following Temple. We're not following the Owls. You know?
In our league, I think of Minnesota and Penn State.
No
Both
doubt.
Of them get a chance in week one to say, look, that was nonsense. Here's who we really are. Nobody expects Minnesota to beat us. By the way, Penn State plays Wisconsin. Nobody expects Minnesota to beat us. But I do think that there is an expectation that they'll be competitive. I do. Mm-hmm. And I think especially based on what they should be able to do offensively, or what the expectation is what they can do offensively, and a defense for us that probably still has some questions. Now, you know that there is talent. The secondary has a lot of talent, and linebackers coming, and we know that. And up front is what it is. It's going to be really, really good. But early in the season, that Minnesota ought to be able to move the ball. Ryan Day was asked about Minnesota's offense and what they'll try to do. Let's hear from Coach Day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to control the game with the run. And, you know, Abraham is a very, very good back. He played against us out here last time we played them. And you know, he's very, very hard to tackle. He's built low to the ground. Really good run after contact. And then Morgan's been around for a long time, too. So those are veteran guys. And like you said, all those guys are up front are veteran as well, the tight ends. And they're big and strong, and they're going to try to lean on you. And they're going to take their shots down the field as well at times. You know, it's play action, control the clock, take shots down the field, and then somewhere along the line they'll have a trick or two, I'm sure. But yeah, that's what they're trying to do, control the game, the run game.
That was yesterday on the Ryan Day show. I think it's pretty straightforward what PJ is going to try to do here, and he's got the back to do it. The question is, does he have the guys up front to make it happen, pal?
There's a lot of hope in their offensive line. I was listening to, at the end of the Ryan Day show, I was able to catch Coach Combs. And he was saying that, you know, at one point or another, it seems like their whole O-line has been all Big Ten in some respect. You know what I mean? And I think that their offense will be competitive if they don't turn the ball over.
Yep.
If they don't hurt themselves with pre-snap or post-snap penalties. Now, look, post-snap penalties happen, right? Holdings, all that. That's playing football, right? I mean, you can have a holding call every single snap. But it's the pre-snap mental penalties. They can't afford to have false starts, delay games, be behind the chains. When you are operating the way they are going to with Mo Ibrahim and that big offensive line, what they're going to try to do is run the ball, and they're going to try to keep it in the third and short, right? Or third and under 5 yards. When you get longer than that, you allow our pass rush unit to come in, right? All four guys, DNs, and let them go to work. And that's not what they want to do. That's not where they want to live. They want to make the throws easier for Tanner Morgan, a veteran quarterback, give him multiple quick throws that will, you know, have opportunity. And then take shots when you have the opportunity. You know, when the run gets going, then that play action shot, you get the safety's eyes peeking in the backfield. That's where you can make some hay through the air. The issue for Minnesota is going to be on the flip side. They don't have the D-line and the secondary.
Yeah.
To hold up against, I mean, you want to talk about an all Big Ten offensive line. I mean, yeah, they have all Big Ten old linemen. We have first team all Big Ten. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's a difference. There's a difference. You know, like, even when as I look at this, and it's like, oh, Rutgers has the third most all Big Ten players coming back. Yeah, 8 of those, you know, 12 that they claim were honorable mention. You know, that means that one guy covering Rutgers is like, this guy deserves a vote. He gets honorable mention. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's a difference between honorable mention and first team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it doesn't mean they're bad players. It just means that there's a difference. There's a level to it, right? So, I'm very curious on how our defense looks. We won't have all the answers, but we'll have some of the answers, and it'll be a fun. I mean, gosh, it'll just be a fun. I hope Minnesota sells it out. I do.
Geez, you'd think.
You'd think, but
combination,
I mean, I guess
of their
we,
crowd and us traveling.
Well, I heard that we actually sold tickets back. Like, we don't have enough traveling
really?
Party.
That's such a great road trip.
That's what I'm saying. But
is it just? I wonder
I don't
if it's
know,
yeah, just a Thursday night. I don't know. It's such a great road trip. Direct flights, great city.
Plus, airline travel, though, as you know and you have experienced,
yeah,
is quite pricey. And I, but imagine these airlines are noticing, oh, well, we don't, if we haven't increased routes, but we can increase the fares because there's a college football game up here.
Yeah.
It's like United 2 years ago before the pandemic. For this fall, we're going to open up a direct flight from Columbus to Lincoln the weekend of, that's convenient. We're going to charge you an arm and a leg for it.
$1,700 round trip on that flight.
Yeah. But, and then, like, so it's,
yeah.
My concern for the whole thing is that we don't want college football to become a elitist fan sport. You know what I mean? And Ohio State already has had a reputation for having our fan base. Like, when you look at Penn State, you think, driven by the student section, right?
Yep.
The whiteout, the amount of students here, you know, was what, Paternalville before, obviously. But, you know, you get the point. Driven by the student participation. And the fact that our student section, the Block O, is like half and half, and it's, we're driven by the alumni base, right? Which we have a very wealthy alumni base and a very supportive. But as you've gone around and I've talked to other people, like, the view of Ohio Stadium is, it's very, it's a donor place. Yeah. We don't want to get to that part where we're phasing out, like, have we phased out, you know, the hardworking blue collar fan that wants to bring its family, you know, once a weekend. It's,
that can't happen. Can't happen. Real quickly, we go over some Browns cuts coming up next, as their 53-man roster for right now is set. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Sports conversation and sometimes pure stupidity.
It's awesome, funny, random.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Look.
Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, yesterday NFL cuts down to 53, the rosters for now. No real surprises out of Cleveland. It's interesting, you know, the roster is such now up there with the Browns that, I mean, you're talking about Kadarius Hodge being cut. I mean, you can't have your sixth receiver making $2.1 million. And so, you know, he was cut. That's a big product. They drafted Anthony Schwartz. Donovan Peoples-Jones, they think, is a future number one. Demetric Felton, they drafted out of UCLA, and he can handle return duties and play some special teams, do some gunners. So it's just, that's where they're at. Their roster moves, nothing was too surprising. I think the story of their camp was Malik McDowell, the former Michigan State player who was a first-round graded player in 2017 draft and got in some trouble off the field, spent some time in jail. He's a rookie, and he's been dominant. He's been absolutely dominant, and I think he's going to get some run with the ones on that defensive line. But they've got a really good roster. They've got a couple of things that they can still do, but I think by and large it's pretty well set.
I mean, like I said, you know, you have a really good team when you start cutting players where you're like, man, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts. Like, Hodge was a player where, like, it was easy to be a fan of his. You know what I mean? And it's just, there's just no space. And I think that's where you understand, like, that's the difference between the Brownies now and what they've been in the past.
He was their number three receiver going into camp last year in the opener. He was the third receiver. So, yeah, he can play. Like, he's going to get picked up.
He's been productive. And you watch him, and you're like, he's going to find a home. Yeah. But and that's where you know that you have a really good roster. I'll put it this way. Not just a really good room. A good roster means there are multiple players on your cut list that will get picked up elsewhere.
Yeah.
Like, even when we were bad with the Rams, we'd have a D lineman that we'd cut because that was our best room. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you'd see like two of our guys we cut on other teams, you know, and you'd be like, well, we had a really good deal. But we didn't have a good roster, meaning like we'd cut a couple wide receivers and they're not getting on a practice squad, you know, like they're not sniffing. And that's when you're like, damn, we're thin there. You know,
so this also tells you you're doing it right. Their last two, they had 15 players in the last two drafts. Every one of them made the roster.
Mm.
So that means you're doing a pretty good job of it as well. Tommy Togi, I did make it. On the defensive line, and so that was very good. I have a feeling he's going to probably be one of those guys who's inactive to start the season, but we'll see where that goes. Very good roster up in Cleveland. Urban Meyer had an availability yesterday in Jacksonville that raised some eyebrows around the league. Should it have? We get into that and preview his first season down in Jacksonville coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, 2-a-days in the AFC South and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, there have been some growing pains, obviously, for Urban in Jacksonville. It's the perfect market for him, as we said a thousand times. This was the job. It was probably the only job he would ever take. Yeah. The scrutiny down there is not going to be the scrutiny that he would have gotten in other parts of the country. And he will be able to have some missteps and be fine. Be fine in that local market. They'll get some national attention. But this is not a franchise that is one that, you know, moves the needle nationally. It just doesn't. So it's right. A very regional brand. It's a small town. It's a small market. And it's a college football market, honestly, is what it is. And they put an NFL team there, and that's the way that it goes. That being said, and this is one thing that it's got to be so difficult for him. So what he got in hot water yesterday over is just being honest. I'm telling you, there's not a team in the league. So if you missed it, yesterday Urban Meyer had a press conference after they got down to 53 in Jacksonville. And he was asked if vaccination status played any role in cuts. He said, yeah. Yeah, it did. Well, guess what? The NFLPA had a problem with that. So he's never had to answer to a players association before.
Right.
His players didn't have a voice. You know, right. Yep. You know, it was the rule of one. So now a grievance has been filed. There's an inquiry, and because he said out loud what everybody else is doing. The only difference is he said it. And you say to yourself, well, wait a second. Everybody else is doing this. What's the problem? Well, I would say this. The problem is the NFLPA and the NFL set this system up for this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up. It's rigged so that if you're vaccinated, you have a better shot. It forces the hands of the teams. You have to consider vaccination. When making up a 53, you have to, because they've made it almost impossible if you're not vaccinated to be viable. And you knew this was going to be a case on the bottom of the roster, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what Bill Belichick said today, if Cam Newton wouldn't have missed time, would Mac Jones have gotten the reps with the ones? No, probably not. So is Cam Newton still the quarterback in New England? Belichick says no, that didn't weigh a factor, but it allowed for Mac Jones to get the time with the ones because he was away from the team for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it in Indy with Wentz.
It's it's definitely, and you're not going to have a report, right, of the full vax not vax list on guys who made the team, but obviously with the numbers, you're assuming most are vaxed. You know, you'll see, obviously, like, it depends on the stardom, you know?
Yes.
And the vaccine status and making a roster now is equivalent to how many chances are you going to get to screw up? How good are you? What are we willing to put up with? Lamar Jackson has tested positive twice for COVID, missed last year and this year.
Yep.
And still not vaxxed.
No.
But he's our starting quarterback, guys. So,
yeah.
Of course, his vaccination status doesn't come into play.
Doesn't matter.
But if you're a third or fourth string QB, yeah. And I don't think this is you're absolutely right. Every team is having this conversation, and I don't even think it's a political conversation.
It's
or
not.
It's even a medical. It's the idea of I'm trying to put together 53 guys on my roster. These football coaches don't get into
they
all that,
care.
A lot of them. They're so focused on winning, and they're thinking to ourselves, in the event of having an issue, who are we going to have? Like, do I want to shuffle around this stuff so much and constantly be bringing in new guys and this and that over contact tracing? And so that's why, and you just can't say whatever's on your mind in the National Football League. Why? The NFLPA, their obligation, and I think they do a poor job of this,
yeah.
But their obligation is to represent Tom Brady the same as Cole Beasley. So, and I say Cole Beasley because he's obviously the most outspoken unvax player. Kirk Cousins, right? Whoever it is, to the last player on the roster. So, although they have put this in place in coherence or in agreement with the NFL,
yeah,
they still are obligated to represent all those players who are unvaxxed that just got released and say, hold on a sec, we at least have to look into this, even if it's just a PR thing.
Oh, sure.
We have to look into this to make sure that there isn't any foul play going on with players that we represent that pay dues to us, you know, and whether they made a team. Was it about football or something else? You know, and so that's, I think that's kind of what you have here. But you're right. I mean, everywhere he's been, he's had no one to answer to.
No.
And I don't, you know, it's not, and I, when I saw it, when I read the headline that he considered it, I didn't think anything of it.
No, because everyone's doing it.
Yeah, I said, of course. But.
Just can't say it.
Yeah.
And the NFLPA is speaking out of both sides of their mouth on this thing because they're saying.
The history of the PA.
Right. They're saying, hey, you can't consider vaccine status when cutting players or not. In the meantime, they have agreed to something that makes life so much easier for players who are vaxxed versus those who are not. They took on a system. They agreed to a set of rules that incredibly incentivizes players who are vaccinated. In every way. I mean, their quality of life. And you're seeing now NFL teams are taking it into their own because if they have guys who aren't vaxxed or that won't get vaxxed, for example, and you saw this from in Tampa Bay. You saw what Bruce Arians is doing on flights. So normally you'd fly middle of the day to go to an away game, right? What's he doing?
Yep.
He's flying in the evening.
Yep.
So basically you have enough time to get in, get to your hotel, shut it down, play the game the next day. And then fly out right after the game. That's what the Browns did last week in Atlanta. Normally, that's a 2 o'clock flight to Atlanta. And you got some time. You go have dinner, whatever. No. They flew at like 7:30.
Yep.
So they were in at 10, straight to the hotel, locked, game the next day. The teams are taking it out of their hands. So Urban just said out loud what everybody else is doing. In a very awkward spot, and we saw the new rules with the NFL agreeing to now that the roster's down to 53 and there's going to be more testing and all of that. But it is what it is. It's something that he's going to have to learn is that for the first time, he doesn't not only answers to Shad Khan, but he also answers to the NFL and to a certain extent the NFLPA. And for a guy who's never had to really answer to anything, that will be an adjustment. That's why the Belichick way is really the best way. Say nothing.
Say nothing.
It's not interesting because, for us, but say nothing.
Because everyone's looking for a headline, right? For a clip. And this is the first, like, you're in front of the media every single day, you know? And that's why you have to get really good at whether it's Belichick or the way Tressel used to do it. You just say a lot without saying anything. And if you can't help yourself, then you just don't talk very much.
Yeah. Just keep it very quiet. This Jacksonville team on the field is going to lose a lot. Trevor Lawrence has looked pretty good. Looked good against Dallas, going against their reserves in the preseason finale. Urban felt really wanted to give him a lot. They did give him a lot. They've already lost Travis Etienne for the season, so that's a huge blow when you lose your first round pick. This will be about keeping Trevor Lawrence upright, though, right? I mean, it's really no more complicated than that.
No, they have to keep Trevor upright, and they have to make sure that he is protected. This whole season for the Jags is about the growth of Trevor Lawrence. Can they have Trevor Lawrence get better? Can he be a guy? And it's not even about touchdowns, interceptions. Like, we can all go back and look at what Manning's touchdown interception rate was and a lot of guys' rookie year. I think players like Baker Mayfield have tried to change the narrative on what you can do as a rookie, but ultimately it is about is Trevor Lawrence protected? Does he look comfortable at this level? You talked about in the preseason, the Monday night game that they had, Greasy kept talking about they just want to get drives going in the preseason to give him confidence, because when you're a new player in the NFL, no matter when you're drafted, there's a question of where do I stack up in this league, right? Where's my pecking order? And you want to have him start to get a little more chesty with his confidence, not arrogance, but confidence of, yeah, I can do it here in this league as the year goes on. Now you have to be upright to do that. You have to make sure that you're protecting him. But it's going to be an interesting season, to say the least, because there's just a lot of unknowns and a lot of first times for Coach Meyer, and he's going through it. I mean, with the vaccination comment, with handling of the preseason, with tempo in the preseason, with the center saying, "Hey, don't worry, Coach, it's just preseason." To understanding that one or two losses isn't the end of the world in the span of a whole 17-game season, but I mean, you can look, you can close your eyes and tell me the last time Urban Meyer lost, you know, 8-9 games, you know, 10 games. And that's what
was
that season.
In the Big Ten
where we're heading.
Time he was here.
Exactly.
He's going to lose more games this year than he lost in the Big Ten, and is it the games he lost at Ohio State? How many games did he lose his entire tenure at Ohio State?
10? I don't.
11?
Yeah.
I mean, he could lose that this year.
I think it was just 9.
Is it 9?
Because I remember this. It was 9. It was 9-7-1. It was 9 losses, 7 times beat Michigan, 1 national championship.
Jeez.
You know, 97 won the fan.
Good job out of you. Company man. Hashtag. Yeah, no. I mean, he's gonna lose more this year than he's lost. Than if it is 9, I knew it was something around there. I thought because it was 7 Big Ten losses, 9 times. Well, there you go. So he's gonna lose more than that this year.
Yeah, he is.
So that's gonna be tough. All right, let's hit the categories on Jacksonville franchise grade.
I'm going C minus. I like their ownership now. Historically, I mean. They had success the first time, the first year that they came into existence, Mark Brunell, yeah. Fred Taylor, that era. And then you move it over and you think, okay, MJD, sure. There's some success there. There's some success. Was it Byron Leftwich?
Yeah. They were in the AFC Championship game 4 years ago.
There's a little bit there. I just think it's a C-.
I agree. And I actually have the exact same grade, C-. And it's just a tough market. It's a tough stadium situation. Always felt like they were probably going to London if they could have made it work. They're not going anywhere, obviously. But it's always going to be a little bit of a struggle. I think it's big that they got that downtown thing done. I don't know if the city will benefit from it. But that new hotel and the downtown stuff, I think that's big for them. I don't know if it's going to help them, but I don't know if it's going to help the city. It'll be beneficial to the city. But I think it'll be beneficial to the franchise. It's just tough. It's a tough market. Perfect uniform combination.
My perfect uniform representation for them, I think, is the all-black uniforms. They're tough to wear. You got the black helmet, the black jersey, black pants. It's tough when you're in Florida wearing that. But when you can rock the all-blacks, I don't think how you can go wrong with that combo.
Yeah, I actually the one where they had all the attention was on the helmet. They wore these when they played in the AFC Championship game when they upset Pittsburgh, and the helmet was that black to gold helmet, which was ridiculous. But that uniform was pretty clean. I had a good use of mixing in the black with the teal and some gold. And if you're Jaguars, you got to have a little gold in the uniform, and it's something they don't have right now. I like that one. I just think the helmet kind of ruined the uniform, but if you go look at just the uniform, it's pretty clean. Coolest all-time player,
I'm going with Fred Taylor. I think Fred Taylor was a dude, and I actually enjoyed watching the Jaguars when he was playing. That guy to me seemed like a beast of a running back, so I'm going with Fred Taylor.
I had him, but you could go Maurice Jones-Drew too. Either one of them is pretty good. Jalen Ramsey was pretty cool when he was there, too, and the impact that he had on that defense. That was a good defense, man, a couple of years ago. That was a squad. All right, play their grade.
This is tough because, like, it's funny because, you know, Urban will post the stuff about the facility and all that, and you're like, is this recruiting? Are we college recruiting?
Yeah.
I'm going to go C-plus because I think anytime you're in Florida, that's no income tax. That's a win. But ultimately, you're forgotten about. But I think that they're trying really hard to make it great for the players. I do believe Urban's a deep believer in making everything really good for the players. So I'm going to say C-plus, and it's because of his relentless. Like, he does everything 4 to 6, A to B, right? And so this is one of those things. How can we make it for the players that elite? And so I think he's going to make a C-plus. Before Herbs got there and is changing it, before this new practice facility, I would have put it as a D-. He ain't living there afterwards. But some of the guys that played in Jacksonville, they say that, you know, you go over and start trying to live by Jacksonville Beach, it can be a good time.
It's a great time. I would go a B for that reason. Baselli still lives down there. I'm pretty sure Fred Taylor still lives down there. I'm not sure about Brunell, but a lot of those guys do. And it's Ponte Vedra. You go to Ponte Vedra, you go to Jack's Beach, you get a place out there. And the cost of living in comparison to the rest of Florida is manageable. So your money goes a long ways. Not that you need it when you're those guys, but your money goes a long way down there. No state taxes, you mentioned. Good weather. Yeah, it's a B. And I think Shad Khan will get it right, along with Urban, in terms of how to treat players. I think they'll get that right, and I don't think he's going to be afraid to spend money to do it. Quarterback grade.
I go B+. I think there's hope. Obviously, I can't go A because he hasn't played a regular season game. I can't go A-, but B+ because everything that you've seen out of Trevor Lawrence at every single level, you've seen success. The hard thing is are the coaches there setting him up for it? I know what his arm talent looks like. We know what it should look like.
Yeah.
But are Bevel and Schottenheimer going to be able to develop this young man? There's a lot of hope, but there's also a lot of other factors outside of Trevor's control. So I'm going to go B+, because when you're he's been that dude at every level, you have to expect success for Trevor Lawrence.
I'll go A-, from the standpoint of he's the probably the biggest sure thing since Luck, you know, in most people's eyes. And it's just a matter of all you have to do is keep it between the lines. You know, that's what you have to do. It's not like Luck was coached by the greatest people ever. I don't know that Manning was coached by the greatest people ever. Sometimes they can even elevate organizations. Maybe Lawrence can be that. We'll see. But right now you have as much hope as anybody based on having him. This is one of those ones where the difference is huge. Contender grade.
Yeah, I got D. I got D-. No, got a chance.
It's an F. It's a D-. They're one of the worst teams in the league. It's going to be tough.
I couldn't give them an F. F is just like
is fine. Well, you give the next team an F.
An F is like Browns defeated and Lions defeated. You know,
right? We're going to give an F coming up next. I'm sure of that. Houston Texans coming up next. We'll get some perspective on how it's going from Urban down to Jacksonville coming up next as well. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, crew, and Panama Ted yelling about something being too hot. I don't understand it either. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
My friends, mortgage rates have plummeted. They're back to the lows of the year. Your home value, it's at the high of the year, and you can take advantage of that with my good friends at Neighborhood Lender. You can refinance now with Neighborhood Lender, pay zero closing costs, even skip your next one or two house payments altogether. They do this at Neighborhood Lender. Makes refinancing so easy. It's an all-digital platform, guys, super fast. There's no paperwork, no junk fees, no big bank hassle. You can refinance right now, snag the rate of your lifetime, and lower your housing costs with no closing costs. You can refinance and get cash out as well of your home's equity. People are getting tens of thousands of dollars out, paying off debt, remodeling their kitchen, doing something out in the backyard. But you need to act now. Get a better loan, get cash out, lower your payment, pay zero in closing costs, and skip your next house payment altogether. Call Neighborhood Lender right now, 614-882-LOAN. That is 614-882-LOAN, neighborhoodlender.com, 614-882-LOAN, 882-LOAN, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 69349. Not all loans apply for no closing cost option, subject to lender approval. I'm going to say some names to you, and this is an example, my friend, of life comes at you pretty fast. Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Hopkins, Honey Badger.
Yep.
They had them all.
Yep.
This should have been one of the teams of the future in the NFL, the Houston Texans. They should have been. Mm-hmm. They were in the playoffs in 15, 16, 18, and 19. They had one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and it all fell apart.
It's just absolutely dumbfounding what's happened there, right? And it's a the common theme that we will get to in all of these for the Texans is it comes back to ownership. It's ownership and what has happened there with the ownership.
The dad died.
Yep.
And Bobby.
So now there's a power struggle.
And now
who's actually in charge?
Right.
Yep.
And you remember the Sage Rosenfels interview on Cal McNair?
Oh yeah.
How there was no furniture in his office and he would just be on the floor playing video games.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. So Bill O'Brien had all the power in the organization, fired the general manager himself, then he became the general manager. Then he does the Hopkins deal with Arizona. That falls flat. And now Deshaun Watson says, I'm out.
Yep.
And so they're obviously tanking. They won't budge on Watson, won't deal him, according to everybody around the NFL. They paid big money for Laremy Tunsil to play on one of the worst teams in the league. They say everybody's available. Come get him. Give us assets. We're starting over. You just did start over. That's how you got Deshaun Watson.
They have a 53-man roster where they put Deshaun Watson as the third-string quarterback.
Yeah. They listed him as other.
The dysfunction there
Jeez.
Is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it gives you absolutely no... It gives you no hope that there's a direction here. Like, when you look at the roster and you see a bunch of names that are... Brandon Cooks. I love Brandon. I love Brandon. He's been the most traded wide receiver in the league, you know? But I love Brandon. But Brandon's better, I think, as a two. He has a speed of a one, but he's better in a group, you know? Laremy Tunsil, right? Again, I paid a great tackle. Mark Ingram. I love Mark, you know? But Mark's on the, you know, towards the end of his career. And David Johnson's coming off of injury. Like, these decisions, as you look at some of these names... Zach Cunningham can play linebacker, good player. But again, Christian Kirk's, it just seems like a hodgepodge, right? It's like,
yeah,
it's a mixture of, well, I don't know really where we're going. We're going to put some good players here and here and here, but how's it all mesh? And then the poor head coach and David Culley, who has to deal with all this. Yeah, it's just it's absolutely. It's stunning, to be honest, what they have going on.
Only that Jacksonville's in their division. I mean, they're in the conversation. They could go over. They absolutely could go over.
Yes, they could.
Let's hit the categories. Franchise grade.
F.
Got to be.
F. And that's even with no income taxes in the state of Texas.
Big time city. All of it.
Big city. Still. All of it. I have an F. Just don't believe... The lack of leadership, who actually has the attention of who makes the decisions and all that, it's an F for me, man. It is.
Yeah, I think it's right now it's one of the worst run organizations in professional sports. It certainly feels like it. The only thing that keeps that at an F grade for me is just the fact that it's a good city with no state tax and a big state with a lot of money. And so it's a good, people like living there. It's one of the fastest growing markets. That's the only thing that keeps that at the F grade. Perfect uniform. They really kind of only wore the one.
I put on here. I don't like any of them.
No,
I don't like the logo.
It looks like a Create a uniform, doesn't it?
It looks like when the Texans were introduced, right? And it's David Carr and all that. I remember looking at the logo and being like, was this done on clip art?
Yeah.
Like, was this an old clip art? You know, logo. It is mind blowing to me. The older that I've gotten, that they didn't pay for the Houston Oilers.
Yeah.
Trademark back. Sure. So for that, I hate them all.
Yeah, find a way, pay them whatever it needs to get those colors back, get that name back. That's what that was the way to do it. I guess they're all whites are the best that they can be, but it's any time that's just because it's a clean look. It means all the rest.
It's a clean look, but the damn logo on the helmet even just makes you like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it's a weird. Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't want to be too close to Texas. University of Texas, and they wanted to like have the flag. I mean, the whole thing, it's just a weird. And they've stuck with it. Coolest all-time player.
I put Andre Johnson.
Dude.
Like, that guy right there was a dude. And, you know, he beat up one of my good friends on the field, but even despite that, just a dude. Yeah. And played against him multiple times. Andre was a problem.
If not for all the off-field, and all the off-field is legitimate, and there's a lot there, I probably would go to Deshaun Watson here. But I think DeAndre Hopkins could be the answer. I think J.J. Watt could be the answer. For all of his, and there's a lot of self-promotion with J.J., did put his money where his mouth is in terms of when that city
very
was in trouble.
Very productive.
And he earned, how much money did he raise after the hurricane damage? I mean, he raised tens of millions of dollars for the city. So that you're cool when you do that, but the self promotion's a lot. Play there, great. Feels like, to me, it feels like you got no state tax. It's a big city. It's just the ownership. So it's probably, you know, in that C+, B- range. And as you go to the quarterback grade, you're running out Tyrod Taylor. And you're putting yourself in position to draft a quarterback. So that's an F. Contender grade F. I mean, this is a 1-16, 0-17 type franchise. They are where Jacksonville was a year ago. How much better off is Jacksonville now? Quite a bit better. Michael DeRocco will join us on that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
D, drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a First Friday edition of the program for some perspective on the Jaguars and the AFC South. We head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems hotline for a visit with Michael DeRocco. Covers the Jaguars for ESPN's NFL Nation. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time. Let's just start with the simple one. How's it going with Urban from your perspective?
Based on yesterday, he stepped in it again, although he's getting criticized really for something that he shouldn't be. When he admitted that vaccination status is a consideration. Every team in the league is doing that because the COVID protocols are so much more stringent for unvaccinated players. And oh, by the way, the league said if you have a breakout and you can't play, you forfeit. So Urban just basically admitted what 31 other head coaches are basically doing. So he's kind of getting hammered for that, but he really shouldn't be, to be honest with you. I mean, that he just spoke the truth. I'll criticize Urban Meyer when he deserves it, but he doesn't deserve any criticism for that, to be honest with you. Other than that, I mean, there was a really good feeling after the last preseason game, so things seemed to be trending up, and the offense looked good, so there was a lot of excitement heading into the season opener in a couple of weeks.
Michael, I'm wondering, when it comes to Urban, one thing that we definitely appreciate about him is that he's just so honest. Like, he can't help himself. And whether it comes to the draft where he said, hey, now I wish that, you know, Kadarius Toney was still there, but I took Etienne. There's just, the whole season will be filled with these things where he's going to just speak what's on his mind and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm wondering, from your perspective, Michael, when you look back on this season with Trevor Lawrence, how will you define it as successful? Will it be a statistical marker? Will it be wins? Will it be comfortability? Will it be like, whew, all right, we got a guy. How do you define a successful season for Trevor?
Well, let's just state this first off. Like, they're a bad team. They're not a very good team. So I don't think describing it in wins would be a good way to do it, although I do think they can win six. Numbers for Trevor Lawrence would be, you know, you want to see him, you know, have a 65-70% completion percentage. You want to see him be, you know, close to 30 touchdowns, maybe even more, that kind of stuff. Low interceptions, single-digit interceptions. But to me, the bottom line is this season is a success if at the end of the year they walk out the door and go, we got our guy. Trevor's the guy. Yeah. He's a stud. We don't have to worry about this anymore for the next 10 years. Let's start thinking about a contract extension right now. You know what I mean? Like, they need to know at the end of this that he is 100,000% the franchise quarterback everybody thought he would be. Now, he's going to look rough at times, absolutely. There may be a 4 or 5 interception game in there. But if he plays the way he did against the Cowboys and he looks as good and the offense functions the way it did, then he's going to have some really good numbers. And then you'll know as a Jaguars staff and team in that locker room that we got our guy going forward. Let's just put the pieces around him and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I don't think there's any question that they have their guy in Lawrence. I guess what I'm curious about is, do they have the people in the staff to put him in the best position to succeed? And I do worry about that with Urban from the standpoint of, man, he went 83-9 here. He's going to lose more than 9 games likely this year. I've seen some of the press conferences in the preseason, and the one press conference he was talking about, look, we got to have tempo. And I'm like, boy, it's preseason, coach. Like, what's going to happen as this goes along? Is he going to have the patience? And we know what he demands of coaches. What's your kind of feel on that in terms of the way that this staff was put together early on, your early on impressions of it?
Well, I thought it was a good move for him to hire guys that have been experienced in the NFL, especially in the offensive coordinator spot. And, you know, quarterback coach Brian Schottenheimer and the coordinator Darrell Bevell, you know, who was the offensive coordinator in Seattle when Russell Wilson was a rookie. So I thought that was a good move. And Urban talked about that in camp because there's just a ton of stuff that those guys know about managing a game that at the NFL level that he doesn't, like the 2-minute warning or 2-minute drill stuff, you know, how it's different in college. And you don't really think about the minutia, but that's kind of the stuff that he needs to know. Now, you know, I did raise my eyebrows after that first game when Urban came in the press room and said, we look like a wallowing offense, and I don't want a wallowing offense. I'm used to, you know, 80, 90 plays, and we got 60. So I thought that was going to be an issue, and that might crop up at some point the rest of the year. Now, they incorporate a lot of elements of the spread in their last game against the Cowboys, which Urban Meyer wanted to see. So I think there's just going to be some, I don't want to say headbutting, but there's going to be some back and forth, I think, between Urban and what he wants offensively and what Daryl Bevel's offense is and how they can kind of mix that stuff in there. What they did on Sunday was absolutely what they need to do with Trevor, because that offensive line isn't very good. They moved him around, got the ball out of his hand quick, rolled him out a little bit. So I think that was probably what we'll see out of this team going forward. And if that's the case, then I think there'll be some, you know, there'll be some harmony there between Urban and those guys. But if there's some problems and some issues, it would not surprise me if Urban goes in a different direction after the season, with another offensive coordinator that's maybe more attuned to what he wants to do. But, you know, the thing that I tell people about Urban this year is, you know, he's going to make a crap ton of mistakes just because he's never done it before. The NFL is a different beast. It's completely different from college. And he's just going to kind of have to wade his way through all that. And there's going to be a lot of mistakes and screw-ups and problems. But he's just got to experience it and get through it. And then he can take stock at the end of the year and then figure out where he wants to go from there.
Michael, is there any truth to the rumblings you hear, you know, about any kind of just questioning from the guys in the locker room? Because really, at the end of the day, if the guys believe in the vision and where they're going as an organization, then you're all in, you're bought in. Does he have total buy-in in that locker room, or is there still some that are maybe wait and see?
No, from what I've heard, and I've talked to a lot of people in the organization, the locker room loves him. You know, are they completely happy with some of the things? No, but, you know, get 80 guys together and is anybody ever going to be happy about everything? I mean, how many guys you got in the studio? Or is everybody happy about everything that goes on in there?
No, I'm constantly unhappy with our producer, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, no, when it's nothing major at this point. And look, I had someone in the organization tell me this, and it's something I've been saying too, is that, look, everything that this franchise has done over the last 10 years, and I may have told you guys this, has been wrong. So let's just take the old George Costanza approach and just do the opposite. You know what I mean? And let's see if that works. And, you know, like, you know, there's guys in this locker room. I mean, Miles Jack has been here since 2016, I think. You know, and some other guys too, like AJ Cann and Brandon Linder. It's like, we just want to win. Like, we got that taste in 2017. We want to win. And everything that we did the last several years, it didn't work. So they're willing to try a new approach. Now, they may not win a ton of games this year, for sure, but if they can see progress, because the players know, they can kind of tell who's a BSer and who's not and who's legit and who's not. So if they get any sense of insincerity there, then that will be a problem. But I don't think there's any at this point right now. And even if they do lose some games, as long as they see progress and they see that Trevor is a guy that they can build around, then I think everything will be okay. But you know, the big question, like you just talked about, seeing Urban after that preseason game, is how is he going to handle those losses, the number of the losses? And none of us really know until he's in the middle of it.
Yeah, I don't think he knows either. Michael, always love talking to you. Thanks for your time today, pal.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that's Michael DiRocco. Covers the Jaguars for ESPN's NFL Nation on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We get Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you miss a Buckeye game, it's because your radio is in tune to the right place. Always and forever, your home for the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. The best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And get your Hey Guys questions in at 971-BLS to Chopper. We'll answer those in about 10 minutes from now. Speaking of Chopper, time for Thing or Not a Thing. Go, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
All right, guys, you mentioned that Rutgers has an actual shutout. Well, Nebraska's streak at Memorial Stadium will reach 376 straight sellouts after two donors purchased the remaining tickets. The school is giving the extra tickets to underserved youth, at least. Thing or not a thing?
How many tickets was it?
It was quite a bit.
I would assume so. Yeah, they got a cupcake game coming off of a loss to a team they should have won. You know, disappointing start. Yeah.
The last part of misery is apathy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last step. So when you lose, you think of a sports fandom, you know, there's anger, disgust, you know, there's all these levels, right? The last one is apathy from a sports fan. And there's various places around the country where this has happened. Apathy at Nebraska. You've been there.
Yep.
That's as bad as can be.
Yeah, we're in a bad state, man. We're in a bad state of affairs if Nebraska gets to this point. So it's and just really, honestly, just really dumb, you know, just really dumb when it comes to the fact that you have this kind of donors just for the sake of having, like, I love that they donated the tickets, don't get me wrong, but this was done out of a, well, we got to keep the sellout streak going.
It's all they have left, though, bud, is this.
It is.
This is their hope. Well, at least we do this. You know, you've been there. How much pride do they take on how on the way their fans behave? The way they treat other teams. That's a huge part of their identity. With respect. Yeah. I mean, everybody said you go to Nebraska, they treat you like kings. Because they want you to speak good about Nebraska, right?
Yep.
It's all they have left. They can't hang their hat on anything else on the field.
This from The Athletic's Connor Hughes. The Jets have three players left from their 2015, 2016, 2017, and 2018 drafts. It was 28 selections.
Gosh.
Just have safety Marcus May, defensive lineman Nathan Shepard, and defensive lineman Foley Fatukasi. Thing or not a thing?
Good job out of you on Fatukasi. I mean, I think you're going to have that. That's the older brother of Olakunle Fatukasi, who is the all-Big Ten linebacker at Rutgers. But yes, good job out of you, Chopper. What you just said about the Browns, I think last hour, was how all their draft picks have made it. This is the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Right? Like,
now,
3 out of 28?
Yeah. Honestly, if you look at when the Browns went one game and won one game in 2 years, you would have had a very similar reality when John Dorsey came in and said, we got to get real football players. And then he started drafting real football players. And then Andrew Berry's taking it over from there. But this is organizational malfeasance.
Yeah.
This is an inability to, in scouting, in drafting, in development, all of it.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
That's wild.
According to the Johnson Central Athletics Twitter, Friday's game between Bishop Sycamore and Johnson Central High School has been canceled. Other games have been canceled with them as well. Thing or not a thing?
Did I read, or some? I think I heard this last night, that the head coach for Bishop Sycamore is on, like, probation or something, or there's a warrant,
something like that.
You had a warrant out.
Yeah,
if you had a warrant out, wouldn't you want to avoid national television?
Well, not when you're a fraud.
Don't you think the biggest takeaway from this is the fact that ESPN doesn't fact check who goes on ESPN1 on a Sunday afternoon? I mean, this wasn't ESPN Plus. This is big boy ESPN that they put them on. That's unbelievable. And guess what? Last night, as I was bouncing around watching some college football programming on ESPN, they had the Book of Manning, which I love. I watched that. I watched the...
Oh, so good.
Yeah, they did the Pony Access was on, that 30 for 30 on SMU, which, by the way, now all of it would just be fine. Used to be a big deal. Eric Dickerson in a gold Trans Am, and they end up going down for it. Quinn Ewers is driving an F-350. Nobody cares. That's like, that's how different it is. But in between, on one of the ESPNs, they replayed their game. They replayed IMG against Bishop Sycamore last night. Why are you doing that?
Everybody's talking about it.
Right, but gosh, it's a black eye for you, I would say. To me, that's the biggest takeaway, is my gosh, they don't vet what's on their air.
Yeah, and the biggest, IMG played Bishop Sycamore last year, too. So IMG should have known, but maybe they just don't care. IMG does sometimes have trouble filling out their schedule anyways. Two more for you. Ben Simmons has reportedly informed the 76ers that he no longer wants to play in Philadelphia and does not intend to report to training camp. Thing or not a thing?
Not a surprise.
Oh, do they want him?
Well, what was it? I don't know. But I think what was a thing was I saw a report yesterday that he would not be opposed to playing in Cleveland. So Cleveland does have some assets that they could maybe package together to get him. So I think that would be a big, you know, in terms of for us, something we'd be interested in. I'd have an interest in that.
Yeah, go get him. I mean, there's lots of room for improvement with Ben Simmons' game, but regardless, it's a name that people recognize, right? It's something that could get people at least their attention back up on Cleveland for a little bit.
last one for you. Following pushback to their thumbs down celebration,
the Mets' Javier Baez story over said here. This it was on all Tuesday. Over local news.
Quote, I play for the fans and I love the fans. I love the fans in New York. They're passionate for this team and the organization. I got much respect for them. Thing or not a thing?
And they booed the hell out of him yesterday.
Did you hear their apology, though? Like, yeah. They kept the local news here kept playing like what Javier played right after or what he said right after, you know, with his son on his lap and basically saying why he did the thumbs down. It's yeah, it was towards the fans, you know, get off our back. And then they come out yesterday. It's like they huddled and they're like, oh, no, we've been doing this for before. And I've done this in other places and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, please, you know, there's somebody right now. There's some Mets fan right now that is searching for every single game that you played and is saying, actually, no, sir, I checked all your at-bats. You've never done the thumbs down before. Like, don't do it. Just say, we screwed up. But they were trying to like, go around. No, it was actually towards the other dugout is what they tried saying.
Yeah.
That was their apology.
Yeah. Look, you can think whatever you want about the fans, but unless you're a super-duper star, you can't go at them. And you better be great.
No.
Because they will run you out. They will run you out. Especially in that market. All right, we hit Hey Guys coming up next. Big Ten East preview as well. We'll get here officially endorsed at the end of the next hour. It is, of course, a First Friday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's First Friday somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, final hour on a First Friday. B's and threes with you. Chops here as well. Time for a little Hey Guys. Hit a chopper.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag Hey Guys and ask Bishop and Laurinaitis anything you want. Do it now.
All right, we're going to start with TJ because he sent this in even before we had the tweet out soliciting one. So he remembered, hey, guys. He says, hey, guys, last night I dreamed that the Blonde and Cersei were doing Hey Gals. So I tweeted them this, most annoying thing that your spouse does. Then my alarm went off. Can you guys speculate on what their answers would have been?
I know. Exactly.
Gosh, that's a good one. I know exactly what it is.
That's a good
job. It's called marriage. Yeah.
It would be procrastinating. She would say that I procrastinate, and it drives her nuts. She is, it works out well. She is a taskmaster. She is, get it done now. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. I can wait. Nothing to see here. And that would be, 10 times out of 10, that would be it. It drives her nuts that I don't do things right away. Right? It drives her nuts.
Yeah. Mine is, I don't tend to pick up after myself right away, and that's why I'm reading this book called Essentialism. It's about finishing one task at once, right, and not moving on to another. Like, for instance, the other day she went to put laundry in. I was eating a bowl of something, and I left. I took the laundry out of the washer, threw it in the dryer, and then I was on to the next thing. And I left the bowl and spoon on top of the washer. Not intentionally, just happened. Yeah. And so the fact that I get a text later in the day and said, did you really just forget you left this? Oh, yeah. And it's because I was on to the next thing. So it'd be cleaning up after myself, I think. She is very much I'll put it this way. Every morning after breakfast, she will spray down the countertops, right? Like, let's clean them for the day. We just had, we just cooked. We just did all that. Boom. Did all that. And then moved on to the next thing, and you're like, oh, okay. For me, I'm like, let's just clean it at like the end of the day. Like, it's going to get dirty at lunch. It's going to get dirty at dinner.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah.
This one from Sean. Hey, guys, if you could redo this year's draft 2021, who are the top 10 picks?
NFL, I presume, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we can't do all 10. Let me pull it up, because I'm going to need to pull it up to see who's somebody who's going. I think right now, my hunch is right now that Cincinnati's going is probably a little worried about Jamar Chase. They're probably a little worried. I'm pulling this up right now because I just want to see.
the NFL draft order.
Yeah, well, you want to see, like, okay, what is a, what would be somebody that you go, boy, you'd like to have that one back? All right, let's see. So top 10. So, all right, so here's where it went. Obviously, Trevor, Zach, Trey Lance. I don't think any of those teams would want to do over there.
No.
I don't think Atlanta would want to do over with Pitts. So then it's Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle.
Cincinnati has to ask themselves.
I think they would be
worried.
Did
we make the right selection?
Yeah. Panay Sewell is struggling in Detroit. He went 7 to Detroit. J.C. Horn looks like a dude. Carolina got him at 8. He looks like a shutdown corner.
Is Denver kicking themselves?
Well, that's a good one with Justin Fields and also Mac Jones.
Yep.
That's probably it. You probably hit it. I think that's because I think Cincinnati, it's too early on Jamar Chase to be, you know, you're concerned, but it's probably a little too early. But if you're Denver.
And Surtain's played well. I mean, he had pick 6, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But Fields has looked really good, and Mac Jones looks really good. And you don't have quarterback sorted out. I wonder if they didn't do that because they thought they were good. I remember talking to Benjamin Albright this summer, who's a Broncos insider, yeah, and NFL insider. He was pretty. He said 60% they were getting Aaron Rodgers. I wonder if they thought in the building that they were getting Rodgers. And that's why they did this.
This one from Gary. Hey, guys, the new Cameron Mitchell restaurant, El Segundo, has ranch water on its cocktail list. Is this officially endorsed, or is it just a cheap knockoff of Uncle Bo's recipe? It has Espolon, Creole Clementine Shrub, Caribbean Spices, and Topo Chico.
Well, what's the tequila? Is one of those a tequila?
Espolon is tequila.
Oh, Espolon's a tequila?
Yeah.
I've never had that. Well, look, I mean, they got all the essential ingredients of it. Ranch. I saw one of the beer companies is selling a version of ranch water that they're selling a little bit. It's a huge win. I'm not surprised that it's you know sweeping the nation. It's a tequila. It's a Topo Chico. It's a heavy lime squeeze. It's a little bit of salt and a lot of rocks. Refreshing, delicious. So it doesn't surprise me that they're doing it. So they had. Well, give me the ingredients again on that.
Espolon, Creole Clementine Shrub, Caribbean Spices, Topo Chico.
I don't know what that is. The second one. Creole Clementine
Shrub. I don't
shrub.
Know. Are they grinding up a shrub? I don't know. What the hell is that?
You just need the lime is what you need. I'm
just
know
a simple human here. You know?
Does that shrub
does that there are shrub some ingredients on drinks. You know, and look, I appreciate where we are with like all these cool, creative drinks that come with all this. I understand where we are, but a lot of times I can't even decipher what's in it. You know, like,
yeah, I don't need to get something
pretty
from the lab.
Tastes great, but what kind of science experiment did you have to do to?
I'll have to try.
Mixologists now are getting pretty complicated. You know, I think the reason why is that how do I entice you to say I want to go there for that drink, and I can't make that at home. You know, like,
yeah,
hey, I'm at Whole Foods or I'm at some selective. Where can I find this cactus leaf?
You're probably right. So that's where you get
the shrub. Maybe you can find it in Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. I'll send it in. You know? They make it so selective that you can't duplicate it.
I've never had that Caribbean salt either. I don't know what that's all about. So I can't. Or whatever. What was the salt you said?
Caribbean spices.
Yeah. Caribbian spices. Yeah. I mean,
have you had black lava salt?
No.
We didn't either until we went to So Plated and they had it on their shishi dill peppers. And the next thing you know, 2 days later on Amazon, we got a giant pack of black lava salt.
What do you make of it? Is it healthy? Is it? I mean, what's
yeah,
the deal?
It's healthy. It's just salt from like Hawaii. You know, literally black
it's
lava
like the,
salt.
The sister black. To pink Himalayan salt.
I was just gonna say pink Himalayan salt.
It's just black. Yeah, we put it on a bunch of stuff.
Hawaiian style black lava salt. Is it? So it's better for us.
I don't know if it's better. It just
regular
tastes good.
Salt?
Up next, Joey says, hey, guys, James, what one play would you like to do over both in the NFL and college career?
I think I answered this last week. I know the one in the NFL one is when I got trucked by Latavius Murray. That was not fun. That was one in New Orleans. I'm still bitter. I put on a stunt. It didn't happen the way that I wanted to. And just ran right through my chest for a touchdown. And then it was getting stiff-armed in college by Rashard Mendenhall. Yeah, on a critical third short. There's many others I could list, too. There's a play that actually didn't happen where Frank Gore spun. Like, it didn't happen because it was holding, you know, so it didn't count. But it was a... Basically what happened spun and I went right over top of him and barrel rolled for about 5 yards. So that was embarrassing. And, you know, you get up and it's like, holding, offense. You're like, thank goodness that didn't count. But you still had to watch it on film. And another one, Vernon Davis absolutely dunked on me on a bomb. I had like a 15-yard head start, too. This guy's so fast. In the end zone, didn't count because of holding. So some of my worst plays actually didn't count. Otherwise, they would have been on SportsCenter.
Kevin, with this one, hey guys, will the Bengals win at least 9 games this season, providing no starters get injured and miss games?
I think a little less than that. I think they'll be fun, and I think they'll score a lot of points. To me, it feels like 7-10, 8-9, somewhere in there. I think the offensive line situation we saw, Billy Price traded, Michael Jordan cut. I just don't trust them interior of their offensive line in any way. So I think
they got issues.
I think that could be a real problem for them.
O line's a problem. You got to get Chase figured out, right? I don't know how you do it. You know,
just keep doing it, don't you? There's no right
way. You
have
to keep throwing the ball. Yep.
Yep. You could do like Billingsley's dad in Friday Night Lights and duct tape it to him and try to hit it out of his hands.
Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
A real heel turn in that you didn't see coming.
Sam says, hey guys, how do you think the D-line will do against the big O-line of Minnesota? Do they wear us down or do we have too many rush men to overcome it?
This is what I would say, Sam, that their offensive line is really good for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Our D-line is really good for Ohio State.
Yeah.
In other words, we'll be just fine. I think we'll be just fine in front.
Yeah, and also I would say that our 1v1 practicing is we're going against a better offensive line. They have a really good offensive line, but we have a better offensive line.
For Minnesota.
So they're seeing better in practice.
Do you think it's amazing to me that Haskell Garrett came back. I can't believe he came back. How do you think Larry rotates all those guys through? There's so many. Tyler Smith's still here. Zach Harrison,
I believe there's situational stuff. I believe there's package-specific stuff. You know, you want to keep the guys fresh. Yeah, there's probably a... I mean, he's a pro's pro, so he has a system down on how he wants to divvy up the reps. But it's definitely... it's tough, man. It's tough because at least at wide receiver, too, you know, like you say, hey, we have so many wide receivers. How do you divvy them up? Like, at least you can design plays to say, I want to get the ball in his hands, right? Like, you know what? Jackson Smith and Jigba hasn't caught it today. Let's call a play, whether it's a jet sweep, whether it's a bubble. Let's get him a touch.
Yeah.
You know? Let's just get him a touch. You can control that. But when you rotate D Lyman in, you're like, man, I really want him to get some action, you know? And it's... Toss the other way, and then you sub them out. It's not as predictable.
We got time for one more. Do you guys want one about somebody listening to our show at work or somebody about his first graders flag football team?
Jeez. Both. Let's do them quick.
All right. Ryan says, hey, guys, I'm coaching my first graders flag football team, and we have our meet and greet followed by our first practice this weekend. Any suggestions on how to go about this?
Yep. 3 rules. Number one, the rule number one is listen. And so what you do with that is you say, listen, and you say, I need to see your eyes. You demand that they see your eyes. It's the most critical thing. It's the most important rule. You listen. Rule number two, I do this at the start of every practice, every team I've ever coached with these kids, and they work. I'm telling you. Number two, try your best. Just try. That's it. And then number three is have fun. And the cool thing is if you do the first two, the third one's easy.
Yeah. Well done. I mean, that's really... When you say eyes on me, it makes me think of what London's teacher says to her, where it's 1, 2, 3 eyes on me, and the class has to repeat 1, 2 eyes on you.
Yep. Where are your eyes?
Yep.
Got to see them.
Yep.
Last one from loyal listener Russell. Hey, guys, I recently got a new job, which doesn't allow me to listen to the show live. This week, I started wearing headphones to listen while I work, but I'm pretty sure everyone at work now thinks I'm an jerk. What do I do?
First of all, that seems ideal.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with everybody thinking I'm a jerk.
No doubt.
Totally fine with it.
Yeah. I'm the guy that wears headphones and sunglasses inside on a Southwest flight, hoping it's not full. Senator Rivera made the announcement that the flight is full. What? Excuse me?
Sorry.
Am I sitting there? Huh?
No. Can't hear. Can't help you.
Don't worry. Listen, there's freedom and not worrying about what other people think. Easier said than done. Trust me. I'm a people pleaser in my old life. But
you're winning.
As I've gotten older, that is, shed it off. You are winning. Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll preview the Big
What's
Ten
more East? Important? Bishop and Lauren Ayers or work?
That's
I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, even not necessarily. What's more important, this program or what people at work think of you? Come on. It's a no-brainer. It's easy. It's easy. Don't worry about that. Feels like you're winning, pal. We get a little Big Ten East preview coming up next. We'll do some categories. We'll leave Ohio State out of the categories. So it's got to be somebody other than us on the categories, because obviously we would answer us on everything, because that's how dominant we are in comparison to the rest of this division. That is coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's two men complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And when I think about tailgate season, it's the fans gathering around the stadium and the delicious spreads on game day. And at the top of my list is ridiculously good salsa. This salsa is hands down the best you can get. I'm not even kidding. I had it on. Shelly made some taco meat the other night. That was incredible. Put it on top of sweet potatoes. Boom. A little bit of their happy medium salsa on top of there. It was heaven. And it's made right here in Columbus by a wonderful family. You can find it at Whole Foods, Wylands, the Hills Market, and the Dublin Farmers Market through September, which is where I always happen to get it. Again, the name, ridiculously good salsa, aptly named because it is ridiculously good. Flavors are mild, happy medium, which I love. And for heat lovers out there, they make a high heat. Get it for game day and every occasion. Ridiculously good salsa.
That's a good job out of them. Take us out of it.
It's incredible.
Take us out of it. This is as in, is this too, have I overstepped anywhere with this statement? Again, take Ohio State out of it. Is this as interesting as any division in college football if we're not in it? When you factor in pressure on coaches, I'm not saying as good as any division. I'm talking about as interesting. I'm talking about selling out at Rutgers. I'm talking about Indiana year two momentum continues. I'm talking about Harbaugh on the hot seat. I'm talking about Franklin trying to act like last year didn't exist. You're talking about Michigan State after being the second best program for a certain amount of time and Mel Tucker trying
to
get them on their
last.
Feet.
Yeah.
Finish last. You think about Maryland's got a Tagovailoa at quarterback.
Yep.
There's a lot going on here if we're not in it. It's just that we are.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. The rest of them just get swallowed.
I think you're on to something there. Is Indiana for real? There's so many storylines. And I think it's just I can't think of a division. Maybe it's most interesting. The division just seemed. Do we believe what we saw last year with our own eyes? Right,
yeah.
I think that's the thing. With COVID happening, it really affected the Big Ten East. Mel Tucker hired, can't even practice, can't install new systems, right? Michigan was for the most part against the season they wanted, the winter season, Michigan State. So you have this whole, all this stuff kind of swirling, right? And so Michigan State can't get anything done. Penn State basically blames everything on COVID, and they had a the start of their season with the game against Indiana and then players who opted out and all that, just really discombobulated season for Penn State. And you talk about Michigan, same thing, just Maryland is highs, lows, cancellations. Rutgers and Penn State are the only two teams to play all of their games a year ago, so in the Big Ten. So those two, Rutgers, real momentum. I mean, you're talking about I told you I was reading that article. It honestly, if they win their non-conference matchups, which are Temple, who's supposed to finish 10 out of 11 in the AAC, there is Syracuse, who's supposed to finish dead last in their side of the AAC or ACC, and then they're I think they play Delaware, who's good in the FCS level. But if you're going to make a bowl game, you got to beat the FCS teams. So those three, and then they're considering maybe a win when they host Michigan State, right? Who they beat a year ago, and so there's all of a sudden you have, like, you think about Illinois, you think about Maryland, you're like, oh, well, they could get the 6 wins, you know? So there, I think it is very much, what in the heck was last season when it comes to the Big Ten East, right? What was real and what was kind of smoke and mirrors? And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to figure it out. But you're right, it's on top of all that is this dominant thoroughbred called Ohio State.
Yeah, it's yeah, I like that. Who's real? What was real last year? Who has momentum? There's a lot of little angles to that that I think are pretty fascinating. Let's hit the categories on the Big Ten East, and we'll leave us out of it because obviously we'd be the answer to a lot of these questions, including this first one. If you were Lance Harbor, where would you go in 21 in the Big Ten East that is not Ohio State?
Gosh, I know. That's if I'm going to Penn State. I'm going to Penn State.
Heck yeah.
Here's why. I think you have the second most talented roster in the Big Ten East. I believe that you get to play in front of that whiteout at home. I'm going to Penn State.
Yeah, and I think your experience there is awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. You can't live there afterwards, probably, but while you're there, I'm sure your experience is awesome. And
I'm going with... I mean, there's really only one answer here, right?
Yeah, it's Jim.
It's got to be Jim.
It's Jim Harbaugh, man.
It's Jim.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's that hot. I mean, they may have a different view of it. They may view, hey, he can't beat Ohio State, but at least we're not Nebraska. You know, I don't know.
I think it depends on their options. They honestly offered him that lower deal, hoping that he would quit.
Yeah. Well, you and I talked about that at the end of last year. You know, their ideal, and I think he probably wanted to. He put his name out for NFL gigs.
Yeah.
So I think he probably wanted to. Sneaky good job. You can win there, just nobody has.
I put down Maryland here. I wanted to be sneaky. And here's, I think if you put, I'll put it this way. If James Franklin is at Maryland, which is why he's so mad at Maryland, right? Whenever they play, he tries to run up the score. He was supposed to be coach in waiting. And things happened, right? Someone gets fired, staff leaves, boom. And next thing you know, it's one of those things, right? So I think you have the area of D.C., Baltimore, Virginia, that whole area, DMV. You can get a certain amount of talent there. Can you get it organized to go win, right? I think it's sneaky. I think it's sneaky.
I agree. You have Under Armour money. You've got a proximity to talent. The stadium's kind of cool. Campus is cool. Yeah. It's Maryland. It's Maryland. You probably should have won more there over the years. You know, and they've had some dudes through Maryland. Sleeper team.
I put none because even though with us, like, because the sleeper team means you have to win it. I'll put it this way. I'll put sleeper as Penn State. They were
you've
so.
You've been on them a little bit. Like, you've been on, I noticed this, a little bit on them in terms of, you like their talent.
I still think that they have talent. I think it's odd that they moved on from Shiraka last year because Shiraka didn't have a chance to implement his offense, right, because of COVID. So he basically said, offense was a great buy, go. You're like, dude, you had no practices. But we know what Sean Clifford is. He's not an NFL dude, all that. But
no,
with Yurcich there, do they finally have a full offseason? They still have talent. They have solid wide receivers. They got talent all over the defense.
Yeah.
I don't think that they're as bad as what their record was last year. I think they had a lot happening. I don't think that it's a total, you know, like, oh, that's, you can't take anything from that. No, but I think what it's done, it's remotivated that group. So if you had to say who's the closest team to kind of, their season was so bad that you could look up and say, oh man, Penn State. They're at least going to be an interesting game in Columbus. We'll still be a 10-point favorite. But you could totally see that.
I'll go Maryland here. I think Maryland will be tricky to play. I think they've got some dudes offensively. You mentioned defensively as well. The way they play is high risk, high reward. And if you're a team that's better than them, or they could get you. because I think they've got some playmakers. They're not going to win anything, but they could beat some teams they're not supposed to as this season goes along, and I think they could be kind of frisky. If not us, well, we're going to win it. So who finishes second?
I'll go Penn State.
Penn State. Yeah. I'm with you. I ascribe to what you ascribe to, that their record, they're better than their record a year ago, and I think that they've got some real program momentum in recruiting as well. Not that that has anything to do with record, but I think they have. I think they're better. I could see them winning. I mean, they got big ones, man. Wisconsin, yep. Auburn, out of the gates. It could go south in a hurry, but I'll be rooting for them in those games, and hopefully they provide a nice test for us here in the Shoe when we get to that game. We'll get some perspective on the Big Ten East. Dustin Schutte joins us coming up next. Manager editor of Saturday Tradition, Bishop and Laurinaitis, right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. C.J. Stroud is going to be the first quarterback taking a snap at Minnesota. If you would, Coach, just talk about where he's grown the most.
You know, since he's got here, there's been a lot of growth physically. You know, he's really changed his body. He's put on a bunch of weight. He's become stronger. He's become faster. And then there's the mental part of the game where he's really picked up the offense, has a really good plan, really good thought process in the meeting room, can take the meeting to the field well. And then I think just the overall command of the offense and, you know, understanding where the ball needs to be in terms of timing and those type of things, you know, hasn't really played in any games. You know, had a couple spot roles here and there last year. So managing the game, understanding, you know, down distance, clock management, you know, when it's time to ditch the ball, when it's time to take a chance, playing well on third down, playing well in the red zone. I mean, those are all things that are coming here as we head into this first game.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Sports talk distilled to its purest form. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. You know about all the incredible deals you can get on Highlanders, Tacomas, Camrys, and all Toyota models. And if you're in the market to buy a new car, but don't forget, if you want the best deal on your trade-in, or even if you just want to sell your car, Jermaine Toyota will buy your car, even if you don't buy one of theirs. So stop by. See my good friends at Jermaine Toyota for a hassle-free, no-strings-attached offer, whether you're buying or trading in or selling. Make sure you go east of downtown to 5711 Scarborough Boulevard or online, JermaineToyota.net.
All right, time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our good buddy Dustin Schutte. He covers college football for Saturday Tradition and covering Big Ten football especially. Dustin, thanks for the time. All right, let's take Ohio State out of the Big Ten East, and I think everybody else would probably like that as well. But when you take the Buckeyes out of it, there's a lot of intrigue in this division in terms of pressure on certain coaches. Certainly Penn State wanting to act like last season didn't exist and move right on. What are you most intrigued about in this division if you take the Buckeyes out of it?
Well, I think the battle for who's the number two team in the division is probably one of the most talked about topics heading into the season right now. You know, is it going to be Penn State or is it going to be Indiana? I mean, obviously we talked about Penn State an awful lot. They finished 4-5 a season ago. But, you know, I kind of look at that after that controversial loss in the season opener against Indiana, and then you lose to Ohio State in week two, you're 0-2 in your college football playoff hopes, your Big Ten title hopes kind of went out the window. So I think it kind of spiraled out of control on Penn State last year. I still think they're one of the most talented teams in the Big Ten. I like the addition of Mike Yurcich as offensive coordinator, Kirk Shiraka. Obviously, he didn't get a lot of time to implement his system, but I think that maybe was trying to fit a square peg into a round hole there up in Happy Valley. So, and then the other side, when you look at Indiana, what's the health status of Michael Penix like this year? I mean, we saw how what a difference that made when he was on the field as opposed to Jack Tuttle. You know, those final two games that Indiana played, they really struggled to score the football and drive the ball down the field. So, to me, the level of intrigue there is between Penn State and Indiana. Which team can Penn State reemerge and be the top contender to Ohio State, or can Indiana, you know, can they be the biggest challenger this year and compete for a Big Ten title? And then a little bit further down the road is just Michigan, and can they rebound from that 2-4 season? And what's the future going to be like for Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, Dustin, I feel like Harbaugh, even though he has the extension, I still feel like his seat is the hottest In the Big Ten East, at least. I think Scott Frost has a toasty seat as well. But as far as in the Big Ten East, don't you feel like for Harbaugh, it's one of those years that you have to wonder if it goes south for them, that he could be out of Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I do feel that way, James. But at the same time, I feel like I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years now. And you know, we've always put it on the, you know, is he going to beat Ohio State? If he doesn't beat Ohio State, is this the end of the road? If he doesn't win the Big Ten East, is this the end of the road? I think that he has to show major improvement from what they did last season. I mean, having a losing record, going 2-4, and really on the verge of being 1-5 last season, and losing some of those games the way you did. It's just unacceptable in an Ann Arbor, and it doesn't matter the situation, doesn't matter who the head coach is. You just can't have a season like that. So I don't think that Michigan has to go 10-2 this year for Jim Harbaugh to keep his job. I don't think they have to beat Ohio State. I think if they can get to 8 wins and can be at least competitive and not get blown out by 30, 35 points in that game, then I think that he will be safe for at least one more season. And then I think we're having a serious discussion about the hot seat. But there's no guarantee. I mean, to me, Michigan's a team that could go 5-7, or they could go, you know, win eight or nine games this season. So there's a lot to be determined with this coaching staff change. They have had a lot of trouble at the quarterback position. I don't see a lot of playmakers at wide receiver. They do have a good running back room. Their offensive line should be okay, but. You know, I'm curious about a lot of different things with Michigan, and we won't get a ton of answers in week one, but they better be ready for that week two showdown against Washington, the team that's going to come into Ann Arbor, ranked number 20 in the country.
Dustin Schutte, our guest managing editor, Saturday Tradition, covering Big Ten. Dustin, I want to talk about Rutgers football, and I didn't stammer or stutter. That's where we're at. Greg Schiano, who, I mean, we had him here, mixed bag, but he's a program builder, and he's got real momentum. They sold out their opener. They're getting it done in recruiting. It seems like people in New Jersey are really excited about it. What's the ceiling on what Rutgers can be?
Well, in my opinion, I think Rutgers can be, and I don't know if this is a fair comparison or not, but I think that they can be kind of like the Northwestern of the Big Ten East. And what I mean by that is I don't ever see this being a program that's competing for national championships, although Greg Schiano, I mean, he's talked about wanting to be number one in the country. I think that might be a little optimistic and a little hopeful. But this is going to be a team that I don't think anybody wants to play on any given Saturday. I mean, we saw even last year when they were getting blown out by Ohio State, that team fought for all 60 minutes, and they made some things interesting. They ran some trick plays. I think they had a special teams touchdown late in that game. So, you know, what I look at when I look at Greg Schiano is clearly his players have bought in. When you look at the recruiting, I think right now he's got 5 players that are 4-star commits that are committed to the program. And in the entire Ash era, there were only 4 players with a 4-star rating. So what he's been able to do in such a short period of time has been impressive. I'm really intrigued to see where this goes. You know, going from snapping a 21-game Big Ten losing streak to winning your season opener last year, going 3-6 in the Big Ten, even though that's not great, 3 of those 6 losses were in one possession game. So we're talking about a Rutgers team that was on the verge of going from not winning a game in 2 seasons in the Big Ten to potentially having a winning record. So I'm really intrigued to see what they can do. Like I said, I think that this can be a team that hits bowl consistency, and I don't know if they're going to ever be up to the caliber of an Ohio State or Penn State, but I can tell you this, in a few years, there's going to be some nervous people in Columbus and Penn State that don't want to play Rutgers, just because I think that they're going to have that kind of talent to you know, maybe pull off an upset here and there and be one of the top 3 teams in the Big Ten East on a given year, maybe once every 4 or 5 seasons.
Dustin, can Loxley do this at Maryland too? Because when I look at Maryland and you see the talent at the skill positions, that obviously when these programs build, they got to get it done on the O-line and the D-lines. But they played a ton of man coverage last year. They have guys who can cover. They've had solid linebackers. It just feels like Maryland, to me, on the East, has been a team that can't get out of its own way with penalties and kind of mental errors and stuff like that as games go along. Can Loxley do it on the field like he's done in recruiting? Because I think that's a sneaky program in the East that I would expect to be in bowl games consistently.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think when you look at the talent and the access to the recruiting and the rich soils that they have there, I think there's no doubt that Maryland could be a contender in the Big Ten at some point and be a consistent bowl team. But when you look at Mike Locksley's record as a head coach, it's not very good. And I don't know what you look at to point to and say, yep, this is going to be the season. Because you're right. The interesting thing is when you look at that wide receiver room, and you guys got guys like Rakeem Jarrett, Dante Demas, Brian Cobb, the list goes on and on, Jayshon Jones. They've got a pretty good running back. But the offensive line, they've been like turnstiles. I mean, it's so bad. In that spring game, they couldn't block the defensive line. And last year, their defensive line wasn't very good. So I think that they have the skill position players to be a bowl team. I just don't see it on the offensive and defensive lines. And as we saw last week with Nebraska and Illinois, if you're not very good up front, you're going to have a hard time winning in the Big Ten. So can Maryland as a program get it done? Yes. I just don't know that Mike Locksley's the guy to do it.
Yeah, that will be the tricky part. Dustin, always great having to talk with you. Thanks for your time today, pal.
Hey, thanks, guys. Enjoy the next 6 days of college football.
It's going to be awesome. We will. Dustin Schutte, managing editor of Saturday Traditions, covering the Big Ten. He joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You're officially endorsed. Three things coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
Matty Ice never placed a bet before meeting Anthony Rothman. And now, where both his kneecaps are broken. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. A linebacker and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, it is a First Friday, and it's the final First Friday before a Buckeye game day, so we'll act accordingly on that. Hit it, Chopper.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
There's a lot of momentum, certainly in this part of the country, for the Bloody Mary. It is an inferior cocktail for tailgating to the Caesar. The Caesar is superior in every way. There is not the viscosity of it. It's more drinkable. It does not taste like sauce. It gets everything right that the Bloody Mary sometimes gets wrong. And the Bloody Mary variation could be so great, you don't have that with the Bloody Caesar. So I'm going to give it to you right now. What I use in a Bloody Caesar, and this will be your officially endorsed for game day tomorrow, is a teaspoon of Parker's Hangover Cure. This is a fine Montana product. You can get it on Amazon. I think Steamboat has it too. Out in Big Sky, you buy them online. So a teaspoon of the Parker's Hangover Cure, two shots of vodka. But if you wanted to go tequila, you could. But vodka is in a traditional Caesar, so two shots of that. You're going to do this in a pint glass, half full of ice, and then you top it off with Clamato. Now here's the beautiful thing: enjoy yourself on the accoutrements here. Go with a pickled asparagus. Don't be worried about throwing a shrimp on there. Maybe a bacon-wrapped shrimp. Enjoy that a little bit. Throw that on there. Maybe go with a pickle. My mouth's watering right now. Green olives. Have a salad bar. Enjoy yourself. But you're going to like the Caesar more than you like the Bloody Mary. I assure you of that. And it is your officially endorsed for game day tomorrow. Have to set a tone. Time for three things. Hit it, Chopper.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me, Bootsy's been begging me to take him to Beamsy's practice. So Bootsy's 5, Beamsy's 7. So I let him participate in practice yesterday in the flag football practice. So he was excited, jacked up, big smile on his face for a lot of the game. So we play a little scrimmage for the last 15 minutes, offense versus defense, kind of work some things through, so I'm working him in. So he got a touch, all right? I got 15 kids. Everybody's got to get a touch in the scrimmage. Everybody's got to get a touch in the games. He got a touch. I switch him over to defense. He starts pouting. I pull him over. I go, what's your deal? I didn't get the ball. I go, look around, dude. Your brother's one of the best players on the team. He got the ball once. How many times do you think you deserve it? I actually had to yell at him in practice for sulking in front of everybody. Rough times these for Bootsy. Rough times.
It's all right. I was a sulker, too, when I was younger. The animal got it out of me, but I was a sulker, too. I used to cry every time I threw a pick. And he gets so fired up.
Not having that.
Get out of here. Go take a seat. You know, which made me cry harder. You know, right. Disappointing pops. My first thing, I haven't really been affected by this ever before, but the fires going on in Tahoe got... my uncle has a place out there, and my good buddy Jake and Jackie Long and Jackie's parents had to evacuate last night. It is getting extremely close. And just... I can't imagine. It just put me in a spot, you know. It's so easy to be so self-consumed and live in an echo chamber and sell,
yeah.
And just culture in general. Like, just think of what other people are going through. I can't imagine having to leave your home that you lived in for decades and just thinking, like, when I come back, it might all just be burnt to the ground.
Yeah.
My first thing, I thought the other days this week were okay. I was fine with it. Today just feels pointless. Let's just get there. Why isn't today Thursday? Now tomorrow has to be Thursday. I'm just ready for it. Ready for Buckeye football to come back.
Well, that's why you have it's your first
Friday. When's the pregame show start? Do Rothman and Ice get the break?
Oh, no.
You know, because they got the break on the coach's show. They get the break on.
So it's noon to 2:30 is Common Man and T-Bone right after us tomorrow.
Oh, boy. There you go. Right into them. There you go. All right. Number two for me. I'm just going to. So Peter sent this to me on Twitter. Okay. I'll just read it to you what he sent to me. Okay. If you want a fun story, see Crazy Carl Pelini eluding police in Youngstown. Vindy, both bros were nuts growing up. Cardinal Mooney sucks. Boardman, nothing's more Youngstown than that. Carl Pelini evading police in Youngstown.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
What are we doing? I'd love that tweet.
Yep. That's amazing. My second thing. What is it about the profession of, like, doctors, dentists, chiropractors that if you show up 10 minutes late, they're like, oh, sorry, cancellation fee of $150. But when you are on time show up 35 minutes late, oh, sorry. No. No, if you want me to be respectful of the appointment time, you do the same, please.
Yeah. No accountability in that business.
Second one for me, this I saw. Kosai is opening up a Marvel exhibit in November.
Ooh.
May have to check that out. Maybe do a Nerd Association episode on it. I sent the little news release to J-Lo, and she's like, we have to go to that. So that's something to do come November. It's November to May, so you got some time.
Real quick, so the blonde is home. She has no children. It's a little emotional time. So she's doing some laundry upstairs as I'm doing the show, and she leaves the light on upstairs, so I keep turning it off. She goes, will you please not do that? And I just keep doing it. And this is marriage.
And this is marriage. Yeah. My last thing, one of the really cool things every time I come to New Brunswick over here is there is a church across the street that was built in 1742. And there's a cemetery right around it. And when you read the names and you then Google the names and you're like, oh, they were significant. And you can barely make out these names because obviously when the tombstone says 1778 or 79, it's hard to maintain. But my goodness, it is, it's pretty crazy to think of the history in this part of the country.
Last thing for me, got a new thing to look into for the house. Yesterday, huge downpour here in Columbus. And I don't know if the gutter is clogged or what have you, but it falls over one place. It's by one of the back doors. Then a little bit of water was trickling in. So I don't know if the door needs a new sealer, if I just need to clean out the gutter. Good news is I don't even have a ladder, so add it to the list.
Good job out of you, Chops. We're back tomorrow on a game day edition. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.